In, let's say, 1996, what you thought 2016 would be like? Look around. This is it. You know, it's not hoverboards or flying cars or... Hey, God has given us another year. He's entrusted to us to be good stewards of what is His for His glory, to fulfill our mission as a church, to glorify God through lives that are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm excited for some of the things that are in the works for this new year for us as a church. I'm looking forward to the marriage conference. It's a love of mine to see marriages grow and thrive. It's such an important part of who our church is. I believe when our marriages are thriving, our church is thriving. It's the most important relationship in your kids' life next to their relationship with their Lord. It's not mom to daughter or father to son, but mom and dad and your oneness and what it is to fulfill all that God's designed it to be. And so I pray you'll make it a priority to join us. Invite some friends, man. It's a perfect, we're inviting the community. So, you know, anyone who wants to come and join us and dig in with us during that time, you want to be married, you are newly married, you've been married a long time. I love our couples who are doing great, but still have dug in to invest and enrich this central part of life. And so looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to our annual meeting on January 31st here at the end of the month. It's a great morning. We're going to have our winter celebration in the morning, and then we'll have some time together to kind of look at where we've been and where we're going, and then we'll break bread together in fellowship. It's a beautiful day to be together. It's the 31st, so it's there's no NFL playoffs that day, so you know, we have a long morning together. You don't have to worry about it. My Broncos will be preparing to play in the Super Bowl. So one can hope. I'm looking forward to these next 4 weeks. We're preparing a long series. We're actually going to be digging into a whole gospel in the next year and a half. It's a long journey to take on a gospel when we preach expositionally and verse by verse to really understand God's word. And so I'm excited about that series in preparation. But for this month of January, we're going to do a mini series called The Church. Look at these four areas of what we're to be and to do. And it's a great time because we are the church. And this is a good time of the year for us to take some inventory and regroup and think about what God has called us to be. And so we need to ask Him to teach us today and open our hearts. So let's go to Him in prayer as we prepare for His word. Lord of heaven and earth, thank You for a new year. Thank You for the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, through which You bring life to Your people. Lord, thank You for grace. We were Your enemies because of our rebellion against Your holiness and Your glory to make it about ourselves. And You intervened. You pursued us, as we just studied at Christmas time, with a missionary work for the God the Son to put on flesh in the incarnation, to do an unthinkable work, to die in our place, to take on our deserved wrath, that we would be reconciled to You, a holy God, to know You, to walk with You, to worship You with our lives. Give us eternal purpose, hope, and joy in You, not in our circumstances, Lord God. You are doing a work in our people, and I thank You for that. I thank You for conviction that brings repentance and growth. Father, as we dive into Your holy word this morning, I ask the Holy Spirit that inspired its authorship and has kept it preserved perfectly, Lord, to illuminate it in our hearts and our minds. Your word is of infinite value, that we would cherish it, treasure it, study it, long for it. Your word, the living God, God, draw us to You. Stir our affections, bring conviction of sin, mature us today, that we would bring exaltation to You above all else. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletin, you got a little sermon note outline. That's a tool we give you, and we hope that it's a blessing to you. It's a place to jot down notes or questions or observations as we study. See, my hope in all the time that I put into sermons to preach as your pastor, that you would make the most of that, and use our time in the Word this morning as a catalyst to your study throughout the week. And as we're going to study this morning, that God's words would be rich in who we are as a people. To begin this morning, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple verses here at the end of chapter 3. As Paul is speaking to Timothy, he says in verse 14 and 15, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of truth. Paul wants to be with his brother in Christ. He misses his church family, and in his absence, he loves them enough to write this letter to them. Why? So that they may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. And then he says that big statement, which is the church of the living God. You who have confessed your sin and repented and trusted your lives to Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are the bride of Christ. You are the church of the living God. The unstoppable God we just sang about. The one who's worthy of our entire lives. And so here you are, you're at church on the first Sunday of the new year. Awesome. I'm glad. Whether this is just the part of your routine of your week, you like to start your week fresh with Sunday church, or been a long-standing tradition, or maybe you're kind of back at it in a new year. Maybe someone loved you enough to invite you. But if you're part of the family of God, why do we do this thing on Sunday morning? Because you are a part of the church of the living God. And this gathering, our worship, our study of the Word, what we do in fellowship, what we do throughout the week for Him, to grow in Him, to make disciples, to testify of Him, that's why you're still alive. It's why you're here. It's not so often all the things we love to make it about, a lot of the temporary things. No. There's an eternal purpose to you and I having oxygen in our lungs to breathe, to work, to do His will. I want you to see the bigness of the fact that you are the church of the living God, and see the mission that He's called you to in this time and space. That we get this, that you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. That we get that God has a plan. He's laid it out, how to live and to act and to think and to make decisions and spend money and interact with others for His glory, for His purposes. We need to know that we are His. He bought us with a high price. And it is right that we would go to Him and say, command us. That all that I have is yours. My hope is in you. My joy is in you, not in my circumstances. Father God, you have rescued me from slavery to sin and death, that I would reign with you forever and be in satisfaction with the God Almighty forever, that my life is yours. And with that, then, look what Paul says next. He says, you, the saved ones, the sanctified, the adopted sons and daughters. He's saying, you, the church of the living God, are a pillar, a buttress of truth. This is a serious representation of what the church is to be in this time and space in our world. Now, let me say something clear of what he's not saying. He's not saying that we are the source of truth. That would be to rob God of the fact that truth is His. He decides what's true and what's not. No, we are, the church is a conduit of truth in this time and space, a pillar of truth. It's the same way that Jesus in John 8 is referred to as the light of the world, but we in Matthew 5, the church is also referred to as the light of the world. We are not the source of the light. We're a conduit of the light. We're the lampstand. We're the city on a hill, as it says, to shine into a dark and lost and sin-ridden world. He is the light. It is Christ in us that produces the light. It is the truth in us that causes us to be a pillar of truth in a world that is lost and broken and dead in sin. A world that is built on the deception of the enemy and the lies and the work of the flesh. Paul is saying God's truth is to move through the church. And this is huge. This is a huge responsibility for you and I. This is why we're here. We are to be pillars of truth to this lost world. And this is massive. Jesus also says in John 8, verse 32, the truth will set people free. So church, are we representing truth? Do we take this call, this purpose, this foundation seriously? This is not something we get to be passive on or treat lightly. It's foundational. We can't afford to try to be the church and do church and not ground ourselves in truth. So I ask again, who decides what is true and what is not? God does. Where do we know this truth in his holy written word? And how do we navigate it and all the things that are coming at us and all the many opinions and many experts and many ideas and beliefs? Well, we don't just look here one time. We don't just read it as a letter one time, put it away and say, I remember reading it. No. We study it. We hold fast to it. We memorize it. We share in it together. We obey it. We live it out. We conform to it. This is where the church must start in a new year. Any other thing I might bring to you to say, hey, let's go here or do this. It's not grounded out of the foundation of the word of truth, then it's likely misguided. Let us consider this morning what it is for us to be a pillar of truth in this society. That you see that your job as part of the church is this. You don't get to say, oh, no, that's what my pastor does for a living. No. This is our job. So do we get this morning? And that's what we need. So as we dig in, I want to give credit to Pastor John Piper. He's been a big influence on my life from a distance. In this area in particular, much of what you hear come out of me has been due to the distant mentorship, reading, study I've done underneath him. His grip, his passion, his hold to the word has been an influence on my life, and I want to give credit to that. Because a lot of what spills out of Josh's mouth has been God's work in and through John and in me. So I'm thankful for that, just as I hope to be that kind of inspiration and model and groundwork for you in these things. Hear this. God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds all things in being, and therefore knows everything there is to know, and who is infinitely wise and full of grace and truth, this God, the God, inspired the writers of the Bible in such a way that the Christian scriptures, the Holy Bible, are the infallible word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. 2 Peter 1:21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This book is holy, not because of the leather that binds it or the way the pages are put together. No, that's just paper and hide. It's holy because it's God's word. It's different than any other book ever written because it is the very word of God. This book, this holy book, is not hidden in a cave in a distant, far mountaintop somewhere. We're looking for it. No. It's in your hands. I want us to get this today. Many in the world don't have access to it yet. That's what the Drillards are going to, moving their family to Mexico to train people around the annual calendar to go to these unreached people groups. to train them how to speak languages so that, that the word can be translated to people who have never heard these words, and the word of God can be known and put into ears who've never heard it. That's the sermon on week 4. We'll get there in a few weeks. But you have access to it now, here. You can hold it in your hand. These are the words of God. God, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting how big this is? You know the question that we tossed around as kids when we were growing up? If you were stranded on a desert island for the rest of your life, you know, you got to take one thing. What would it be? You know, we tried to outthink it or whatever, but I mean, there really is one answer as a Christian. I want God's word. I want to hear from God. I want to study his word. I want to mature and trust the rest to him. But that's a kid's question. It's a hypothetical. So let me just make it really practical. What about everyday life for you right now? Do you know where your Bible is? Do you leave home without it? Do you not pack it for a vacation or for your work day because you have enough other stuff in your bag? Do you neglect getting time in it because you're just too busy? And so let me just ask you a question. Busy with what? What are you busy with? Where God's word for you and me is set aside. And here's even the bigger, harder question is, what if you're just really not interested in it? And I've been praying for you, if that's you. If you're honestly at that place, you're like, Josh, I know there's time in my day. I can make time. I can watch a few less shows. I could read a few less news articles, scroll a few less pages on the social feed. But when it really comes down to it, I'm just not really hungering for it. And I'm praying for you, if that's you, that practice would be the best part about the new year for you. That today's sermon would be the greatest gift you've received in the last weeks. Why? Because you were convicted and inspired to be back into the word of the living God to feed your soul and mature you and grow you and send you and equip you to do all that he saved you to do. God has saved you from the enemy, from sin and death, and he's put a sword in your hands, a holy sword. And he said, go, and he said, make disciples of all nations. Go fight for my namesake and for others' eternal good in preaching this gospel, teaching people to obey all that I've commanded you. But many of us, we've learned to set down our sword. And we're busy doing something else. I contend nothing should come close to what you feel about the value of God's holy word in your life. This is why the psalmist cries out, incline my heart to your testimonies. Psalm 119:36. He's asking God, why? Because the fight is real for our affections and our time and our attention. And there's so many distractions. There's a lot of fleshly temptations. There's a real struggle within ourselves that says, if I spend time in God's word, I'm really going to be convicted. I need to obey. And sometimes by just avoiding it, I can just kind of come up with the way I think I should do my life. So our flesh is really at war with this thing. we need help. We need God's help. We need each other's help to be accountable, to encourage each other, inspire each other, press each other into it. I pray that we would savor it deeply. Let me ask, what does it mean that the truth of God's word is our foundation as a church? Well, we see it here in Psalm chapter 1. You just kind of break your Bible open in half. You're right there, Psalm, Proverbs. You can go to the first chapter there. And these opening words of the Psalms are just so, so good. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So, but see, the problem is, for the reality, and a lot of us in the room, is we do the exact opposite of what that just is telling us to do. We spend more time with the kind of people it's describing and the kind of settings it's describing than we do in the law of the Lord and the goodness and the richness of God's word for our souls. I mean, just think about the hours, if you add them up in your week, of TV, internet, social media, the music you have on, in comparison to the amount of hours that you spend with God in his word, bathing in it, studying it, knowing it, being convicted by it, worshiping him in it. No wonder why so many Christians are spiritually malnourished and feel very distant from God. Because we often close the door to him and his word that he's given us to walk with him and hear from him and know him and grow in him. We've kind of closed that door to stand and sit and listen to and spend time with the voice of the world. And I'm not saying that a good TV show is a bad thing or some social interaction on the internet's a bad thing. Or some rocking tunes is good. But the point is, we've got to check the diet of that stuff compared to the diet of God's holy word. God did not save us to sit around and wait for him. He saved us to grow in him and go out and fight and be that pillar of truth in this lost, confused, dark world. I can't take us where we need to go as a church doing this practice myself. You are the church. We are the church. We've got to do this together. We can't go where we need to go and do what he's called us to do unless we get serious about this. You've got to train with me. It'd be like saying, I made a New Year's resolution to get fit. I'm going to lose some weight and I'm gonna go sit with my trainer once a week for a couple hours. We're gonna talk about how to be fit, and I'm gonna get really pumped up about that. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna see him again in a week. We're gonna talk about that again. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna come back and see him in a week. You gotta work out. You gotta do what we're talking about here. You got to put it into practice. It's the same for this, same for our spiritual growth. My job as your pastor is to open the word of God and to teach you these things and to say, do you see this, what it says? Okay, now we are called by God in all of his perfection to do this, to practice it, to wield it, to walk together in it. But I can't do it for you. If we're going to build our lives on this, we have to have a less grip on the other things that we've been so busy with and so distracted and so satisfied in. Some of you are able to stop eating the sweets in the cupboard to go on the new diet. Some of you have to clear out the cupboards for a season. You might have to do that in your actual life too. You might have to cancel your subscriptions. You might have to put the TV away in the closet. I remember my youth pastor did that often. It was a great example to me growing up. He encouraged Jennifer and I in our first year of marriage to have no television. because it would set a pattern of us just sitting there and letting the world kind of entertain us and never really growing our marriage. So we did that. And it was great. It was a good practice for us. It helped us over the years to just shut off the cable half the year. So what if when the cable's on, it's football season? I mean, that's beside the point. The point is there is a good practice there. What is that new habit? And sometimes we do. We've got to kind of remove the distraction, the business. We've got to sign off of Facebook. We've got to change the routine and the habit of the day and how we do dinner, how we wake up in the morning. It's not just going to kind of flutter and fly in front of your face on the fly. No, you got to make time. It says in verse 4 through 6 here in Psalm 1 that the wicked are not fruitful and enduring. Essentially, was what we're going to come back to that, verse 3, in a minute. But it says it's they're like chaff. The wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment. They'll be judged and condemned. Nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Man, there's strong words there for those who deny the things of God and do it their own way. Continue just to sit in the seat and in the way of the world and the ideals of the world. It's not just a temporary loss. There's eternal consequences here. If that's you, then I love you enough to say repent, turn from that, and take up a new practice. There's no perfect time like New Year's to do this, to start fresh, to take on a new diet of the Word of God. And so look with me at the beginning of the psalm again, and after the not sitting and walking with those in the world, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Delight here means there's a longing for, there's a priority made for. To make room in our days, not just trying to squeeze it in, but you're hungering after God. You want to have him shape and mold and speak into your life through his word. You want him to shape you. The Apostle Paul taught in Philippians that we're to hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast. That's to get our roots deep into these truths. We're like trees planted by streams of water, and we're bearing fruit, and there's strength there. So that when the storms rage and the chaos comes and the attack of the enemy is there and circumstances flip upside down, we're grounded in who we are in God. We haven't lightly touched these truths in such a way where we're kind of passive with them. No, we've built the foundation in him, in his truths, that allow us to weather storms, significant storms, like being robbed a couple weeks ago in our home and getting to say that Jesus is better than our nicest stuff. I don't respond that way unless the truth of the Word of God is richly in my soul. I act stupid and probably throw stuff in anger and spite and chase after people to create my own revenge and not move on with my life because now these people have racked me up. No. But we need these truths, we need these practices to shape those moments. Prepare us for that. To hold fast to the Word of God daily, to put it deep in our souls, I mean, that's to get our roots grounded in the foundation. This is our foundation, church, is the Word of God. And so the question is, how do we delight? How do we hold fast? And it comes back to that thing, you've got to get time in it. It doesn't come to you through osmosis. And there's a real meditation, there's a real study, there's a real practice. You come alongside others who are more mature in the Lord and you ask them to disciple you. That's one of the main reasons why we gather on Thursday nights. Those of you who are growing the most are connected to discipleship. And it's awesome to see what God's doing in your lives, in your marriages, in your whole trajectory. That's not just like good ideas we're sharing with each other. No, we're studying God's word together. Truths of God in the catechism. We're digging in. And it's shaping us, forming us. But you have to also just get time in it. It's got to be a part of your walk, your life. And so I am excited. I'm thankful for where we are as a church. We've really grown in this area in the last couple of years. More of you are studying your Bible daily than you have in a lifetime. 2 years ago, we embarked on a journey to read the New Testament in 2014. One chapter a day, we took a little bite Monday through Friday. We had weekends off to make up, and we did it. We read the whole New Testament. It was great. In 2015, this last year, we read all the Psalms and the Gospels again. And again, took those little bites, and it was a digestible, and you guys did it, and we grew, and we walked together. And yeah, some of you fell off the wagon on the way, and you had to get back on, or you're glad it's a new year again. So I'm excited to tell you about this year's reading plan. We are going to study the scope of the entire Bible, and reading the whole Bible in a year is a pretty big task. There's a lot of reading. We're not going to do that yet. We're going to study the scope of the redemptive story of the Bible by studying in the 52 weeks of the year, 52 figures of the Bible, key figures of the Bible. We're going to start with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to go to Adam, and we're going to build through Genesis and into Exodus and walk through the Old Testament narrative. The Old Testament is going to come alive to you again, for many of you, in a way it hasn't in a long time. I'm so thankful for the series we just did a few weeks ago in Habakkuk. Many of you came up at the end of that and said, Pastor, this is one of my favorite series that we've done. Habakkuk, I mean, I got so much out of it. I'm really maturing in my walk with the Lord. Who my God is out of our time in this word has been so good for my soul and my family. And it's funny because you tell me stories about telling your friends, hey, at a church we're studying Habakkuk, and they say, what's that? Where's that? He has this little cool minor prophet in the Old Testament. Other pastors and friends in town are like, dude, it's awesome to see you guys growing in Habakkuk. So we're going to get to do that through the Word. And we're adding something new this year as we work through all the Old and New Testament and these 52 key figures that we've lined out. You're going to have a little reading Monday through Friday on that person. And then our leadership team is writing, and we've been preparing for this, a Saturday morning Bible study for each person each week. So now we're going to give you another add-on in Saturday mornings, a Bible study to sit with your spouse or just get alone yourself with your family and really kind of look deeper at what God's doing in his redemptive story in this particular person. And man, it's going to be a good year. So I'm excited about that. There's green pieces of paper on the back table on your way out this morning that have the whole plan. You can fold it, you can keep it with you, you can use that, put it on your fridge, put it wherever you do your Bible study. But I would actually encourage you to go to our website, and one of the banners that's right there on the front is to sign up for the reading plan. And when you do that, throw your email in there, you'll get the daily reading in your inbox every morning. And the Saturday morning Bible study will come early on Saturday morning. I'm excited to testify that we've been doing this with the Motorcycle Club. I'm the National Chaplain for Soldiers for Jesus Motorcycle Club. It's a worldwide ministry to the 1% community. And it's been amazing to see truly hardcore bikers who are very little studied, growing in the Word of God in these last couple of years. I constantly am getting emails from people around the world saying, here's how I'm growing. Here's how my brother who's now doing the reading plan is growing. He's telling me he's understanding God. This person got saved, and it's like, awesome. There's over 700 people around the world doing this thing. And it's not me. It's this. When we make time for his word, and we study it, we want it, and we let it instruct us and shape us, it changes us and grows us. And so, really excited. So you're here on the perfect day, because this thing kicks off tomorrow. So today, take the paper, go online, sign up. Okay? And we'll get off and running, and it's going to be great. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. I pray that All Drive Church is a people who delight in the law of the Lord and God's word. Why is it important that we build our lives on God's word? Number one, life doesn't happen without the Word of God. Consider this, physical life begins with the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3, Psalm 33:4 say, by His Word we're created. By the Word of God we have being. He upholds the universe by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. Not only do we have physical life because of the word of God, we have spiritual life by the word of God. James 1:18, by his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23, you have been born anew through the living and abiding word of God. We are born again in Christ. This is not our doing. This is God's sovereign doing. He does this by giving us ears to hear his living word, eyes to see the beauty of the gospel, that we repent and believe. We cannot have faith. We do not have faith without hearing and receiving the word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. John 8:31 and 32, if you hold to my teaching, Jesus says, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not only do we begin living spiritually by the word of God, we continue living by God's word. Jesus made it clear when facing great temptation by the enemy in the desert, after fasting for 40 days, Matthew 4:4, quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Church, Jesus modeled for this for us. Jesus, Son of God, God Almighty, has all the power there is, handles the opposition, handles the lies and deception every time with what? The word of God. So he's showing us, he's pointing us, the church of the living God, to the very foundation that we are to know, build, grow, and do life in, and combat the lies of the enemy. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. John Piper says it well. He has this quote. He says, we are people of the book, this book, Holy Bible. We know God through the book. We meet Christ in the book. We see the cross in the book. Our faith and love are kindled by the glorious truths of the book. We've tasted the divine majesty of the word and are persuaded that the book is God's inspired and infallible written revelation. Therefore, what the book teaches matters. And so I just have to say plainly, if you don't have a book, a Bible, you need one. We'd love to give you one. We have some in the back. If you need to take a Bible home today, we'd love to give you one. I would encourage you to spend $10 or $15 and buy yourselves one that's going to last a little longer than the one we give. And that's just us at Wholesale. We just make that available. Why? Because I just don't want you to have any excuse to not have a Bible that's yours, that you're able to study and grow in. And it's not to say you can't study the Word of God on your phone or online. Those are good resources, and you can use those. It just, I'll just tell you that sometimes just getting this and opening it is really good for you. Why? Because Facebook alerts don't happen here. Or game scores. Stock updates. All that stuff that's calling for our attention that we talked about earlier. So I encourage you to get a book. And to make notes in it and read it and make it your own. Again, the pages, the paper is not holy. The hide of the animal is not holy. The words are holy. God's word. That's what matters. And you need to be feasting in it and knowing it and growing it. That's what's key. God's word, number two, revives the soul. Here's the sobering reality, is that not every day with Jesus is better than the last. You say, hey, did I just hear a pastor right? Yeah, it's true. I mean, sometimes you wake up and you're just messed up. And you're grumpy and you're upset and sin's carrying over from the night before. And you're caught up in some fleshly stuff. And you need to be revived. I think this is why David says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. He also says in the most famous Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. there is a reorientation, as I like to talk about it often, that we need, and God's word does that. Helps me remember that, hey, the new iPhone's not like my greatest treasure in the next week or whatever these things are that we're chasing after, this promotion or this thing or this health. It reminds me who I am in the Lord. It restores my hope and my joy in Him that's faithful and enduring, not the fleeting things that I've chased after. We need that revival. The Word of God does that. God's word is that kindling to the fire of your affections for Christ to keep them burning white hot. Even on that day where you wake up and every thing in your fire seems to be cold ash, and maybe somewhere down in there is that one cinder that's hanging on. Even when you just don't want it, I encourage you, I implore you, climb into the Word of God. Do it, even if it takes days or weeks to do it. Even if you have to do it begrudgingly, do that so that the Word of God might fan the flames of the cold ashes of your soul to bring heat back to that cinder and cause a flame to start burning again and get you white hot again in the Lord. The Word of God does that in your life. Don't go without it. Don't tune Him out. Let Him speak to you and mold you and shape you every day. Number three, God's word is the source of our sanctification. Sanctification is that ongoing work of maturing in the Lord, becoming more holy, of sanctifying and purifying what was once broken and sinful. And that's that growth in Christ that happens once we're bought and saved in Jesus Christ. It's how we live out Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. John 17:17, Jesus cries out to God the Father in His high priestly prayer on our behalf. Here's what Jesus prays for. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. When the word of God is at work in my life, it will mature, it will convict, it will grow. When you invite in other authorities or other voices to have an equal voice in your life, you will be all over the place. Your roots won't be deep in who God has commanded you to be. You'll be all over the place. Number four, God's word is a light for our path. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In this dark world with many voices, many temptations all around, we need a light to guide us. And when that light is on and shining, it illuminates my view of who God really is, not just what I want to believe God is or how He works. It corrects that. It shapes it, molds it. How He's at work, it reminds me that although there's great seasons of suffering that we will endure, His promises prove true. Where would we be without that light as Christians in this modern day? I have no idea. And yet, how many of us, how often do we go many days or weeks never turning the light on? When we hold fast to the scriptures, it pulls us into Him. And He's now at work in and through us. And He is the power by which we live, the authority by which we make decisions, the hope by which we hold on to. We worship Him. We trust in Him. We enjoy Him. And finally, God's word is the authority of our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. John 14:23-24, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. We have to submit and obey what is taught. Can't just study it, read it, hear about it on Sunday, and then move on. There has to be change, transformation, accountability. Our full submission to the authority of God is so serious. The scriptures warn of those who don't do it, who don't submit to it. Proverbs 13:13, whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself. But he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. It is essential we believe in all of God's word. The tendency of our flesh to just grab some of the word and then form the rest of what we are to believe and do is so there all the time. Here's the sad thing, is so many churches or people out there are doing this. Too many pastors preaching from the pulpit, just the parts that they think will draw a bigger crowd or the parts that they're comfortable with, not submitting themselves to the whole of Scripture, to let God determine what his flock, his bride needs to hear and know and understand. So we have to be careful of what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is going to happen, is surely happening in these days, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, to basically tell you what you want to hear, to conform to your ideas or ideals. And they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths. Here's what's awesome. Many of you were on that road. And now we're here submitting ourselves to the word. Praise God for that. Many of you have family or friends who are on that road. And so we continue to love them and be truth, be a pillar of truth in their lives and trust in God's timing in their lives. But I come back to where we started. Paul's saying, you, the church, are to be the pillar of truth. You don't get a waver in this. We are to be accountable to all that God has called us to do. Temptation to read some passages and then to make it say what we want to say and to pick and choose is really real, so we can feel good about what we think it says or want it to say. And it's hard to do everything it says, and our it rails against the norms of our society or the priorities of our society, and we're a little nervous to be ostracized or have opposition or hardship happen in our families, and so we just kind of chill out and we pull back a little bit, because at the end of the day we've lifted all that stuff up and it's as important to us as God. We've put it on the same level as having authority in our lives as the word, and we can't do that. This is our foundation, church. Everything's got to stand on this. Your leadership's working on our steps in this next season. Pray for us. Working through some of our old constitution stuff that's just long overdue to be revised according to this and updated. We're working on that. You need to pray for us. You need to pray for me, Pastor Jason, the other leaders. We're teaching you. That we would not be tempted to tell you what our ideas are, but that we would be submissive to this. And the moment we stop being submissive to this, it should be the moment we're done leading. Who the bride is, who God is, needs to be more important to me than my job. And what we do with this word of God needs to be of the utmost importance to us, the church. I need this burden on your shoulders too. Hold me accountable to it. Hold us accountable to it. That tradition wouldn't dictate who we are or where we go. That our preferences and feelings would not dictate who we are or where we go. The word of God would dictate who we are or where we go. Amen? We are at war with our sin and selfishness, our self-reign. Do you submit to the authority of the word of God, as hard as it is? Are you bringing people into your life and around you to make war with the ideals that you know are working against what the scriptures are teaching? Do that. I know it's hard. I know it costs you time and energy. Do it. You stand with me as we close. I love you. We have no agenda here at All Drive Church but to hold fast to the life-changing authority of God's holy word. What happens as a result of our faithfulness to that is for God to decide and for us to submit to. Let me say it again. We have no agenda here at All Drive Church but to hold fast to the life-changing authority of God's holy word. What happens as a result of our faithfulness to that is for God to decide and for us to submit to. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not be tempted to set aside the things that you have proclaimed are true and right and priorities, to make our own ways, our own agendas, our own priorities, our own foundations. That we would not give in to the easy path. That we would not avoid real sanctification and your refining fire as comes with studying your word and holding fast to what you command us to do and to be in Christ Jesus, the power that you give us, the Holy Spirit, to work and move and bring conviction and sanctify. We're desperate for you, Lord. You know by our actions that we're not afraid if our church has to get a little smaller in a season to build up a base of disciples who are holding fast to your word, that the growth of who we are, the reach of who we are, that's up to you. That part's up to you. That we would be faithful to what you've entrusted to us, our time, each other, your holy word, the resources you've put in our grip, that we'd be good stewards of these things, not just in the beginning of 2016, but with our whole lives until you take us home. And for those of us here this morning who have some work to do, some adjusting to do, that this diet of the Word of God, this regular holding fast and laying a foundation on your Word would be a real thing in the hours and days and weeks to come. That you would help them to follow through with that, make phone calls, make adjustments, sit down, have a family meeting, get in prayer with you to figure that out. Submit and lean on our leaders here at the church and disciple makers. Lord, I can't do this without this family. We have to all be all in. I pray that this would be so. Let's commit ourselves to you this year. Get our roots deep in your holy word. We love you. We look forward to what you're going to do in and through us as a result of it. Oh God, we look forward to it. And we praise you for the gospel of grace that sets us free. Our chains are gone. To live for you and make much of your holy name. We worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen.